NFL week two starts tonight. Thursday night football, of course. Giants at the Washington football team. And both of these teams looking for their first one of the season. Of course, like I said, it's only week two, but still looking for their first one of the season. Giants, you know, kind of looked lackluster against the Denver Broncos. Now, granted, that's you're putting up the Giants defense. I mean, sorry, the Giants offensive line against that Denver Broncos defense. That's going to be problematic for the remainder of the season. I think there was the biggest news coming out of this game, at least as of recently, about 3-4 hours before kickoff, is that Billy Price is now going to be their starting center. So that's going to be kind of an experiment in the works. Another experiment that's going to be happening with Washington is with their quarterback play. So in the offseason, they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick to a 1-year, $10 million deal. And now he goes out week one in the first half with Taylor Heinicke in the lineup now. And Heinicke is kind of a interesting story because last year in 2020, as Washington is trying to filter to their quarterbacks, then they release like Dwayne Haskins before the middle of the season. You have Alex Smith being your guy after he was near amputation of his leg. He had the whole system around his leg that just kept everything together. So it's amazing that he kept that, and let alone his life. And he was playing. He was a starting quarterback for Washington for a decent portion of that season. Ends up dealing with some injuries that puts him out for the remainder of that season. But when you have 15 weeks, 16, and 17 last year, those were the only times Heinicke was active. And yeah, and then he goes into the game, doesn't start the game in that week 16. I believe it was at home against Carolina. Results, just the result in general, yeah, was 20-13. So, I mean, he does decent there. 12 for 19, 137 yards, a touchdown. Not too bad. But the surprising thing is that he has to go and start. What was it? Yeah, has to go and start the wild card game against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not the best matchup there, but that's when people really put Heinicke, I guess, on somewhat of a map there, really gave him attention of when he goes 26 for 44, 300 yards, a touchdown, an interception. Okay, passer rating, nothing too crazy. But yeah, kept them in it, and that's all you could really ask for. And then go figure, that's kind of when the game where the Washington football team's defense collapses, gives up 31 points against that Buccaneers offense. So, you know, I can't really say that Heinicke's the answer, because I don't think he is, just based on the sample he's provided in his career, which has been wildly inconsistent. But he does have an opportunity to cement himself as the starting quarterback in Washington. I think that's what a lot of people wanted to see, but they knew that Fitzpatrick was coming off of a great season with Miami, initially being the starter and then backing up Tua in crucial spots to give Miami at least an opportunity to try to get into the playoffs. So that's what Fitzpatrick did. He earned his money. And yeah, it's unfortunate that he's out with the hip injury for at least, I think he's on injury reserve for at least 8 weeks due to this. So a decent portion of the season, of course. So yeah, Heinicke has the opportunity to be able to prove that he could be the starting quarterback in Washington. Unfortunate for Fitzpatrick, because this is kind of like an opportunity he was finally waiting to get, because Fitzpatrick, I mean, he started a ton of games, no doubt, but he hasn't been set up this good with the defense he has, with just the overall team. I mean, I know Washington made the playoffs with a losing record last year because the NFC East was so horrible. But yes, Fitzpatrick was set up well. But now, just shifting the focus to this game specifically, Heinicke has a chance to prove himself, and this is a good team to start off against, because I don't know what the Giants are really going to be. I guess it's up to their, I guess it's up to the offense and what Daniel Jones can do with Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, who else? Kenny Galladay, the wide receiver they acquired in the offseason. But yeah, you can only do so much when your offensive line's not great. I mean, Barkley, I believe he's questionable for tonight's game. We'll probably end up suiting up, but he only had 10 carries for 26 yards. And, you know, I don't know how much is going to get thrown off because of the Denver Broncos defense and that factor. But I just really see the trend continuing of the offense not being able to produce enough for New York against what Washington can do on defense. I like the way Heinicke came in and was able to substitute. Granted, the Chargers weren't really planning for Heinicke. They were planning for more of Fitzpatrick. So that gives a little bit of leeway if you need that backup in an emergency situation. But yeah, I think Heinicke understands his targets and his weapons, like Terry McLaurin at wide receiver, and can always rely on that running game with Antonio Gibson, to where the offense should be able to do enough just based on what the defense is holding the Giants offense to. So that's kind of how I see it being. Now, the thing that gives me a little bit of fear is the Giants are looking to win, I think it's 6 in a row against Washington, which is kind of surprising to me. I did not think that the Giants, I wouldn't have thought that from last season, they won both of those games, but they did. So I got to look up the specific scores of those games, because I can't, like I said, I can't remember off the top of my head what the situation. Okay, so these were super, super close games. The Giants got the advantage over Washington in week 6 of last season. That was in New York. The Giants win 20-19, and then at Washington, the Giants win 23-20. So I still kind of expect the same deal, the same type of scores. I mean, if a team scores 30 tonight, then God bless them. But just the way things have been going, at least looking at last year and the kind of game plan that Washington has, stronger defense, weaker offense, or weaker quarterback play, I see the trend continuing with that score. So, you know, I might as well check what the over under, you know, and the odds are. But anyway, yeah. So I want to think that Heinicke is able to just produce a reasonable amount of offense to give the advantage. And yeah, that's kind of what I got going. So let me move to the more of the betting side of this and see if I can pick out anything in particular. Let's see. So you have currently, and this is just according to DraftKings, you have the Washington football team as a 3.5-point favorite. Now, that is interesting. You know, would I go with the Giants there just because of the close scores that have been in the past? Maybe. Over under, probably set at 41. That's why bookies and sportsbooks are good at what they do, and that's how they get money, is they are setting up everything perfectly to where you could have get screwed on like a 3-point game that is, you know, it could be what it was last season, 23-20. So it's everything's set up to be close and everything like that. And yeah, nothing has proved to me that we're going to see this crazy amount of offense. Who knows? Maybe Daniel Jones could snap into something here, and then it could be a nice exchange of point scoring. But I really am focusing on the defenses there. Okay, let's go to some props here on yardage. Rushing yards, attempts. Yeah, most rushing yards. See, now that's interesting. Right now, Saquon Barkley is at 39.5 for rushing yards. And just based off of last week, only having 26 against Denver, having a decent defense again in Washington. I mean, if he plays, you would think he would be able to get over that. So that's something that's intriguing. That would be intriguing. What else? Quarterback props. Let's see. Passing yards, you know, Heinicke at 249, Daniel Jones at 231. You know, potentially that's something to go after. Yeah, I mean, I would potentially attack that. That's for sure. So yeah, so it's it appears the sport books are setting up for a low scoring game, and that's what I'm going to go with. If I had to make a prediction, I would probably take, yeah, I'm going to take Washington. And it, yeah, biggest thing is Giants offensive line versus Washington's defense, and specifically their defensive line with Chase Young on the pass rush. I wanted to add one more NFL thing because I frankly wanted the Giants and Washington thing to be slightly longer. But it's such a simple thing of the offensive line versus the defensive line, and the fact that it's probably going to be low scoring, maybe take advantage of some of those yardage bets. But I want to look at the current leaders in passing, rushing, receiving, or the top five, top 10, whatever, and kind of think or predict what may happen with that, just based off of 1 week of sample, you know, do the typical overreaction thing. But yeah, let me start off with passing. And right now, Derek Carr, number one, 435 yards. Do I think he is going to be the leading passer? Probably not, because he still has to play six games versus the Chargers, he's on the Raiders. What am I doing? Chargers, Chiefs, and Broncos. Six games against those teams. So I think he's going to come back to earth. I don't think he's going to be putting up 435 yards a game. The person who is second, who I think could or needs to kind of sustain the low 400s, high 300s type of passing yard games is Dak Prescott for the Cowboys, because I just don't really trust their defense this year. And yeah, in order to stay in games or be competitive in or against a team like Tampa Bay, you got to be throwing for that amount. And then after him, you have Tom Brady, who threw for 379. And of course, you're always going to have Patrick Mahomes lingering. Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, also 4 and 5. So do I see a player on a, I would say, more likely of a non-playoff team getting the highest mark, or more of a quarterback on a playoff contender, a more better overall team being the leading passer? I think I would lean more towards those playoff teams. So players like Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. And if we're looking at, let's see, who's going to have the most passing yards. And yeah, that's how the odds kind of line up. It's Mahomes, Prescott, Tom Brady. And then you have Matthew Stafford, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson, you know, probably not. I don't think that's, and yeah, he only threw for 254 last game. So to me, I felt like Dak Prescott, well, I had to see the first drive last week to really, you know, solidify my confidence on it. But I really thought Dak Prescott could pick up where he left off when he went out with his severe ankle injury after week six. I thought he could be back to that for sure. And at that time, he was the leading passer in the league. And I thought he probably could have sustained that for the other 10 games in that season and become the leading passer. So, and yeah, I mean, I think Dak Prescott, if he stays healthy and all that, could very well. And I think he could be the leading passer in the league. My only concern with that is if he can, you know, first stay healthy, and are the Cowboys kind of gonna recede back into the rest of the NFC East crowd. Now, thankfully, you have a team like Philadelphia, and I know they played the Falcons, but they still look pretty good with Jalen Hurts on offense. Devontae Smith had a nice welcome to the league rookie kind of game. So the offense is going to be there in those Philadelphia matchups. Now, when they play a team like Washington, maybe if a team like New York, could be a different issue. But I really think if Prescott can stay healthy, he is going to have a prove it year. The Comeback Player of the Year award is definitely looking like a Prescott worthy award this year. So, you know, I got to go with him. And of course, when you have Mahomes being able to throw 197 to Tyreek Hill, and then you also have Travis Kelce, you have Brady with his weapons like Evans, Godwin, Antonio Brown, who's going to be really good. Like, having to guard him as your defense with him being a number three, that's going to be difficult. Of course, Gronk. But yeah, I just, at the end of the day, I think the weapons Prescott has on offense, that should be enough to have him lead the league in passing TDs. You know, that could be a different story. Currently, Jameis Winston's in the lead, and that is kind of, not for me necessarily, but for a lot of people, just because of that 2 years ago with the Buccaneers, the season that he had where he had 30 plus interceptions. And now he goes and has 5 touchdowns in the game against the Packers. Really weird to only have 148 yards in that. But yeah, you know, this is where I would like to go with Tom Brady, who is currently second with both Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray. Just with the amount of weapons, especially in the red zone, that Brady can throw to, I could see him leading the league in passing touchdowns. Like I said, I think Russell Wilson may do the same thing he did last year, where he falls off. Mahomes is going to always float around just because the Chiefs are that good at this point. But yeah, so passing yards, give me Prescott. Passing touchdowns, give me Brady. If we're going to the running back position, you have right now your top five. You have Joe Mixon, David Montgomery, Elijah Mitchell, who knows with the San Francisco running backs. They could be all over the place. I think it's going to be such a committee with San Francisco. You can't really trust any of those running backs for a sustainable rushing effort. Melvin Gordon, I don't think so. Damian Harris is interesting, but then you also have Ramondre Stevenson on New England, who they're going to look to incorporate him in to help out Harris, because even at the end of that Miami game when he fumbled, granted, there's no excuses there, but I think it was reported that after that fumble, he looked super fatigued. So, you know, hopefully Stevenson doesn't lose the ball early next game, to where you're able to have Harris and Stevenson, two of the power backs on the Patriots roster, both be incorporated there for the entire game. So I think Harris may run into a running back by committee problem. Joe Mixon, you look at him and worry about some injuries. Christian McCaffrey, same thing, injury, and how much is it going to be the receiving yards? I could definitely see a total yards thing for sure with McCaffrey. Like if there's something on rushing and receiving combined, then it could be him. Let's see who else. Could you imagine Lamar Jackson leading the league in rushing? I don't think that's going to happen, but you know, Nick Chubb of Cleveland is someone that is interesting. Antonio Gibson of Washington, I mean, maybe. Never know. So, yeah, I would have to rely on how I'm going to get the best bet here. You know, I do like McCaffrey being at plus 650. They still have Derrick Henry, of course, like, I mean, with his slow start, you never know. But yeah, you know, I'm kind of liking McCaffrey so far. So I think I would go with him. Rushing touchdowns, so I would say Chubb or Cook, I think, for the rushing TDs. Yeah, it says right behind Derrick Henry. Ooh, my goodness. I'll go with, oh boy, because I think, you know, Minnesota's offense is going to be scoring a ton. So is Cleveland. Oh God. Do I do that? Do I take the risk and ride with the Nick Chubb, one of the two running backs who got two touchdowns? I can't do it. I think I'm going to go Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook, why not, for rushing touchdowns? All right, wide receivers. Let's see. So you have Tyreek Hill. I mean, almost had 200 receiving yards, which is just crazy. You know, you have Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin in there. But, you know, is there going to be a game to where, say, Brown goes and gets 100 when Godwin only gets like 20? That's the thing I'm worried about there. Could, you know, Amari Cooper with kind of complement that with Dak Prescott, with me thinking that he's going to be the leading passer. Yeah, the leader in passing yards. There we go. Yeah, really, it's tough not to say Tyreek Hill right now. I got to see what the odds are looking like for that. Yeah, it's really, I mean, Tyreek Hill is the favorite at plus 700. So you can kind of throw in some different things and let's see what you get. You know, DeAndre Hopkins potentially, but with the incorporation of potentially taking a deep ball threat or a deep ball away from him because of Christian Kirk on Arizona. And then you also have AJ Green kind of in the mix too. And of course there's the legs of Kyler Murray taking away some yards. So yeah, let's see, where's Amari Cooper at plus 1200? You know, the Josh Jones, Stephon Diggs thing, it's tough to go with them just because of what they did in week one, you know, the recency bias there. Yeah, I just think that's going to be just a deadly combo, Mahomes and Hill. So I got to go with that receiving touchdowns now. Yeah, you still have Tyreek Hill. Oh, Travis Kelce's there too. Tyler Lockett's kind of floating around. Darren Waller, more of those upper end. What's Rob Gronkowski? I'm kind of interested with that. Seems like Rob Gronkowski is more of a red zone threat now, definitely compared to last season. No, I may go with that. Just, you know, take the flyer in Gronkowski plus 3,500. Go with that if I want to be a little bit more reasonable. Yeah, could always go. Devontae Adams is still there, and that's just kind of concerning, just based off of what Aaron Rodgers did. I don't know what the hell happened there, really. Why not? Rob Gronkowski getting the most receiving touchdowns at tight end in his kind of second career resurgence in Tampa Bay. Sure, why not? Go with him just because of the threat he is in the red zone. I mean, I know it's super risky to go with a tight end, but, if you kind of want to take more of a dark horse bet, you could do him. And then, I would be confident in Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce just because of the amount of times that the Kansas City Chiefs will be scoring, just of how unstoppable that offense is. So that's what kind of just based off of week one, the predictions are that I have for passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, and of course the touchdowns for those stats as well.